At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three on this Monday, recapping the Saturday action at Gulfstream and arguably the biggest performance of the day came from returning Vekoma. And always exciting when any of the previous year's three-year-olds come back as older horses, and certainly Vekoma, a horse that captured a lot of excitement and a lot of interest last year. What a terrific return. Wins the Sir Shackleton, does it stylishly, and a 102 buyer on the return. George Weaver joins us. George, congratulations to you and Randy and Matt Gatsis.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show.
Not at all. Talk about his comeback and how much he's changed, matured, and what you dealt with during the time off since we saw him in Derby, where, you know, he ran a credible 12th.
You know, he put together a great resume as a 2- and 3-year-old. Obviously, we were very excited about him. He's always shown exceptional talent. And, you know, after the Derby, he was doing fine after the Derby, and he grabbed a quarter up there in Saratoga, probably early part of June. And that set us back, and we were messing around with that. And by the time we got him back to the track, probably 3 weeks later, he just wasn't moving 100%. You know, I think that in general, the toll of the training and racing had caught up with him, and he needed a break. And at that point, we wanted to set him up for a great 4-year-old campaign. And we ended up, you know, instead of trying to shortcut it or give exactly what the doctor said that we give him, you know, we wanted to give him extra time and make sure that we made it count. So Dr. Bramage went over to horse, gave us a game plan to get him back to the races, and you know, he really came back firing the other day. Very happy with the race.
How much time did he spend just, you know, kind of turned out and left alone?
He had a good 4 months, probably somewhere between 4 and 5 months. He was, you know, on turnout and just getting to be a horse, and he's really filled out over that time. You know, he looks a lot more mature now. He's got a, you know, he's just stronger. Nice big neck on him, shoulder really developed, and he just probably weighs 100 more pounds than he did last year as 3-year-old.
When you brought him back in, I mean, in terms of published workouts, it was really just February and March. How much time was he with you before you started recording things in the morning?
Well, we took the horse to Margot Farm after Dr. Bramlage was done looking at him. Margot is owned by Jim and Susan Hill there in Kentucky. It's a beautiful facility. They've got a lot of you know, a lot of great stuff there for horses that need a layout. They've got great paddocks, great staff there. And so he spent he spent most of the summer there into the fall, and then we brought him down here to Palm Beach Downs probably mid-November, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
And we started the initial comeback. You know, you do some jogging and do some galloping and, you know, try to get him fit enough so that, you know, that they can start breathing. And every single step, we took more, you know, did more time than you would with a normal horse. Like, normally I'm good jogging a horse 10 days, 2 weeks. With him, it was between 3 and 4 weeks of jogging and more gallop, and we wanted to make sure that we, you know, took every step and gave him plenty of time to, you know, just not to take too many, you know, take too many steps before you were ready for it. So, you know, so far it's worked out great. We were very happy with his comeback race. You know, we're hoping that puts us in a position to run in some of the big races this year. You know, if they bring back the Carter, we might like to try that. The mile's got to be on the table, and we just want to put together a 4-year-old campaign that hopefully gets us to the Breeders' Cup.
Nice. And you know, in terms of this scenario, George, what are you telling your staff? And obviously, being in Florida right now and not having anything to come back to New York for, or to, you know, go to Kentucky for immediately, you know, you're in a decent position. I'm sure you're comfortable just you know, waiting to see what, you know, what kind of condition book Gulfstream is going to offer. looking forward to talking to Mike Lakow about how they're going to deal with things. So, you know, what's your thought about, you know, what's going to be happening here in the short term?
Well, normally we start thinking about heading up to Saratoga and getting into a more New York-based program right after the Derby, you know, the second week of May or so. That looking, you know, it's just not looking like that's going to be something that's going to be available or that we want to do. It's probably going to take a little longer to get New York racing back on track. You know, perhaps Churchill might be able to get things started earlier. But I guess from my standpoint, as long as they're running the Gulfstream, it's not affecting me too much. You know, we've got some horses coming off of layoffs, and we want to get Majestic Dunhill started. Hopefully we can get a spot for him. So, but our staff is doing great. They're you know, where we train here at Palm Beach Downs, there's six barns. You know, most of the staff lives in dorm rooms here, either in the barn or it's kind of isolated. I think the, you know, the scariest thing is that if somebody were to get a case of the coronavirus within a backside like it did in New York, then it, you know, that can be scary. We, you know, it obviously is contagious and can spread, but I, you know, so far it looks like it's been contained in the Florida backsides and it has not become an issue, which is why they're even probably allowing us to run at the moment. So, but it hasn't affected us too bad yet. You know, everybody's working and it's, everything's working out.
Well, it's fortunate. And, you mentioned horses that were, you know, might be still on the comeback. You know, one of the challenges here is going to be, you know, treading water and, you know, trying to make, you know, decisions that without knowing, you know, what the medium goal is, you know, I think we all expect that, you know, summer, fall will come together. But in the meantime, you just have to take whatever comes.
Yeah, it's an unknown for everybody in all professions and businesses and lives. Racehorses in particular, it's hard, you know, if you could say, oh, let's just turn them out for 30 days. And, you know, yeah, the owner could save some money and we could, you know, take it easy or whatever. But that doesn't work with racehorses. They, like, if you give them 30 days off, they need another 60 to get back where they were. So it's and you can go through some complications coming back. You know, a fit racehorse, they need to kind of stay fit. If you don't keep them fit and you let them down, then it, you know, it just postpones things. And next thing you know, they could be running in June and you're not going to be ready till August. So the ideal situation for any horses that are training well and are race fit is just to stay fit, no matter how you do it. And hopefully we can, you know, continue to manage to do that.
Now, I tried to make that point earlier, too, as it happens, because, you know, I see people saying, oh, they should just kick these horses out and send them to a farm. No, you know, you run so many issues that in that with that thinking. And, you know, the other point that you bring up, too, if you do choose to let some down, building them back up, you are going to risk injury. I mean, you'd just be so much better off just, you know, essentially, you know, trying to treadmill them and just, you know, blow off steam when you have to with them. But the people who seem to think that, you know, that there's this magic collection of turnout farms nationwide that are going to take in the America's racehorses overnight, they're in a dream world.
Yeah, I think that there would be a lack of space if we try to do anything like that all at once. But I think every owner and it's in the game, you know, they, in times like this, they'll probably just try to, you know, if you had a horse that was on the bubble about whether or not it needed some time or this or that, you know, then maybe it would force you to go a more economical path. But for most of these guys that are, and even the two-year-olds, like the two-year-olds, they need to continue their education. Now's not a time to be stopping on a two-year-old. They might not be ready to run in April or May anyway, but it's important for them to lay that foundation, do some gate work, and get, you know, get fit. So, you know, two-year-olds definitely need to stay in action and continue to march towards being ready to run.
Want to ask, too, George, you mentioned Majestic Dunhill, who you scratched and are going to wait for another spot. But talk about a filly that people need to know a little bit about. And that's the Big Beast filly, Up in Smoke, who very quietly is 2 for 2.
You know, she didn't really tout her hand to me early on. We liked her, you know, when we bought her, she worked very well in the sale, and she was working okay in the morning, but could be kind of green, especially if you worked her by herself. And I think you could see she was a little bit green first time out when Irad rode her, but she got the job done and looked impressive. But Irad said that, like, initially he didn't know if he had any horse. And then all of a sudden when the horse came up to her or whatever, then she kind of took off for him. And then when Johnny rode her, I don't think I've ever seen a race like that in my life. I mean, during the race, I thought she broke okay. For the first quarter mile, I thought that Johnny was having to ask her to stay up there a little more than I thought he would have had to. But, you know, he wanted to get in a good spot. Then, as they went into the far turn, she started going backwards. And I didn't see her throwing her head or anything. And I looked at Randy, my client, and Jake also. They were standing close to me, and I said, I'm sorry, guys. I have no idea what's going on. It looked like she was going to get beat 40 lengths. And that's what I was thinking at the 3/8 pole. By the time they got to the quarter pole, I had seen that Johnny had pulled her out and was starting to make momentum. And then I was like, heck, she's going to win. I've never – at the 3/8 pole, I thought we were getting beaten 30, 40 lengths. At the quarter pole, I was like, oh, she's going to win. She's rolling. It was a bizarre experience.
She was bred by Carol Rio, and of course, Carol bred Mucho Macho Man, and you paid a square price for this horse, the Big Beast, $230,000.
Well, as far as I was concerned, she had the prettiest breeze in that whole sale, the Timonium sale last year. Up there. I mean, She's beautiful action. She worked 10-10-1, and. You know, I could not fault her breeze at all. If you're going to fault her at all, you say, well, she's by the Big Beast out of an exchange rate mare. A lot of people, you know, maybe that was the pedigrees why she, you know, went for 230 instead of more. But for me, when you go to a 2-year-old sale, you're looking for performance. And, you know, you let the pedigree kind of guide you on what you think you pay for. But I wasn't, especially fillies, they kind of make their own pedigree. And I just felt like she was a very athletic filly. And, you know, did everything right. I didn't see any reason not to, you know, pay that much for her.
Well, and from a pedigree standpoint, that dam happens to be a sister of Proud Accolade.
Right. It's not the worst pedigree I've ever seen. There is some quality in the back bottom side there. And as you said, I'm not familiar with Carol Rio, but I did notice that she was a breeder of Mucho Macho Man as well. So, you know, obviously they've got some good mares, good bloodlines with what they do breed. But I would expect that this filly is going to be adding some black type to that family pretty soon.
Well, and of course, Proud Accolade, we go back to Satish and Padua and the Champagne winner back in 2004. And, you know, not only Carol breed Proud Accolade, she's also bred a couple of best in, I think she had a, did she have a West, I think a Westminster best in show as well.
She
does. Yeah. She breeds Boston Terriers. Or miniature pinchers. We had a wonderful conversation. There was right around the time of Mucho Macho Man. She had also scored at Westminster. I'll get the details for those of you that are now the people are buying dogs left and right. I'll find out who it was. I cannot remember what. I'm almost positive that she had here. I'm pulling this up, a best in show. But anyway, this is a serious horse, and I think you've got miniature pinchers. Absolutely right, miniature pinchers. And terriers and Boston terriers. So if you like those sharp, pointy noses and ears, Carol's your breeder. she's got a beautiful place in Ocala too. Well, Georgie, what did the most important thing is? How much did Randy bet on Saturday?
You know, I think I talked him down a little bit. I was very happy with the horse's training, but I told him, I was like, because I personally believe this myself, first time against older horses is no cakewalk. Now, I know that, you know, we faced some nice horses last year, and we, you know, we won the Nationals as a two-year-old, we won the Bluegrass. But, I didn't want him going gung-ho because it's off an 11-month layoff, first time against olders. You know, I thought that he would run well, and, you know, one thing that makes this horse great, he obviously has talent, but he also has a determination to win that, you know, it's just so hard to find that in a horse that has that much talent and is so determined to win. You know, he knows what he is and he knows what he wants to do when he's in a race. So, but I just didn't, you know, I told Randy, I was like, look, I like him, and but don't go gung-ho here. First time against olders can be tough. But I think he showed us a glimpse of how good he could be and is going to be this year if we can keep him together.
Well, I was amazed at how easily he won. I mean, he dominated. It wasn't even, and as I sent you with the best figure of the day, with a 102 buyer. So
it was a little bit of a strange race to watch. You know, he broke sharply and very well could have just set the pace the whole way. I think Manny thinking about the horse coming off a layoff, the other horse looked, you know, kind of gung-ho for the lead. He didn't want to get in the speed duel, so we kind of took back off that horse. The next thing you know, the horse came on the outside of him, and we're on the rail in the box. We got two horses in front of us, and I was like, oh, man. For a minute, I was like, is this going to work out all right? But, man, when he turned it on, he turned it on.
Winter turns to spring, and ideally in the kinds of
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years old and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and present in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National gaming support line 800-522-4700.
Okay, we're back. I guess
the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There you go. Second time we've had the signal. And signals from here too. It's not in Florida. It's New York. Thanks to George Weaver as always, and always happy when George does well. And hopefully they can get up, set up shop at Saratoga soon enough. We'll monitor that. And I did get the official. Here's the official details. Carol Rio had the best in breed Boston Terrier in 2009 at Westminster. And then she had that Min Pin in 2011 at around the same time as Mucho Macho Man was gearing up. So, and yeah, pretty cool double. And here's another nice Rio bread, she and her husband. They've got themselves a we'll have to look at that broodmare, actually, and see if what else has gone on since with that mare. But this one of George's, in fact, now I've lost the, here we go. Up in Smoke is the filly that you're going to keep track of. And big beast out of the exchange rate mare, Teresa. Staying right here now, and Brendan Walsh is going to join us. And as we had said on Friday during the weekend previewing, it felt like Brendan was really poised for a potentially a huge day, and the day went okay. A couple of trips, a couple of circumstances would have made it even better, but running 1-2 in the Sand Springs, a highlight, and Brendan joins us now. Brendan, congratulations.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thank you.
Obviously, when it came to this race, La Signore got the trip, and Zofel had to settle. Your thoughts about the way the thing kind of unfolded late?
First of all, Steve, we were very pleased with both fillies. I thought they both ran great, and you know, that's all you can ask for in your typical turf race. You know, everything has to work out. I think La Signore, I think she was threatening to do that. She's obviously, you know, from her previous form as well, the talent was always there. It's more of a mental thing with her and the right setup and taking her back to the mile off a quicker pace, I think really helped. Tyler gave her a masterful ride. So we were thrilled with her. And Zofel, same thing, ran a great race. Typical American turf race, you know, just didn't get the rub of the green. I thought going in, I didn't think there was going to be an awful lot between the two of them. It worked out for La Signore this time. And, you know, Zofel, she did get stuck in traffic a little. That's the way it goes sometimes. It was nice to run, that they ran 1-2.
It does feel like, you know, Zofel is the one, you know, and she's a four-year-old, and La Signore is a five-year-old. But it does feel like Zofel is the one that's got some exciting upside.
Yeah, no, she does, Steve. You know, she came over to us from England. She won her first start at Keeneland, and then she won twice at in New Orleans. The second race, of course, was a stake as well, which was fantastic to get the stakes win under her belt. Then her last start at the fairgrounds, she didn't have the greatest trip either. But we brought her over to Palm Meadows, and she's done really, really well since she got to Florida, and we knew she was sitting on a big run. And yeah, I think she's still improving. She's got a year's more improvement on La Signore. So, you know, it's great to think that she can still improve a little more. And I think she can be a serious filly as time goes along.
Well, in the meantime, you're uncertain as to what to do next, I suppose, because, you know, no Keeneland, not sure when Churchill will start. What's your feeling, Brendan, with where things stand? And, obviously we got other horses to talk about, including Maxfield. But what are you telling your staff? What are you telling your clients?
I mean, who knows from day to day, really, Steve? It's really in the hands of the gods. I mean, I think everybody's just sitting on the fence at the moment. You know, Churchill was going to open up as normal. Then they delayed the opening the backside. Keeneland cancelled. You know, there was all sorts of rumours last week about Gulfstream as well, but fair play to Gulfstream. They've managed to keep it going. And I think, you know, it's important, I think, for the industry that we have some sort of race. And I know it can't be possible everywhere, but I think it's very important that we have some racing and something to point to, you know. And hopefully, you know, it seems like this thing is easing in certain areas or the places that it originated. And you would hope that maybe, you know, in 2 to 4 weeks that it would start to ease in the U.S. as well, and we could maybe start to run back in some of these places. But who knows at the end of the day, you know. But, you know, hats off to everybody everywhere, because everybody's trying their very best. And, you know, I know it's hard on you know, everybody. It's hard on owners too. You know, they've got their horses in training, but, you know, hopefully it's only a temporary thing. And I don't believe that stopping on horses or anything like that is a good idea, because if they turn around in 2 weeks' time and they say we're racing at Churchill the end of April, then, you know, everything goes back to normal, and horses have had a little bit of a backing off and a little freshening. So, you know, you can use it to your advantage too, but, you know, we hope for everybody. But the most important thing right now, I think, is that these people that are getting sick with this, and everybody does their thing, which I know everybody's trying to do, and that everybody gets back to full health, because that's a lot more important than any sports or any horse racing right now, which we all know.
What did you end up doing with the horses in fairgrounds with the meet ending?
I got lucky, Steve. We had moved a lot of them back to Keeneland before.
Nice.
You know, yeah, we actually got lucky. I had moved them into Keeneland before. I had just left a couple that had, you know, we were planning on running the final week of the fairgrounds. I had left them down there, but the rest we had already moved back. And then, of course, everything happened with Keeneland cancelling and all. So, lucky enough, we got them into Kentucky. And then our horses that we had in Florida, in Palm Meadows, are still there for the time being. And at least we've got racing there right now, so we're not completely out in the cold.
Absolutely. That very clever. Let's talk about a couple of the other spots from Saturday beside the girls running 1-2. And Vitology is a horse, Brendan, that, you know, is going to very frequently be the victim of paces in his races or trips. Some thoughts about what went on for him.
Very similar to Zafel, Steve. You know, he looked at the turning for home. He looked like he was traveling as good as anybody. You know, went down on the inside. And, you know, but Vitality just, he can tend to hit a little bit of a flat spot. He's done it previously in his races, kind of. He'll hit a flat spot for 100 yards, and then he kind of picks up again. And he did that the other day. And he picked up, and then he ended up in behind two or three horses at the end, and it was too late. So, you know, typical turf race again, you know, just bad luck. But I think, you know, I think he ran well. I think he ran up to his form. I was very impressed with Mr. Clement's horse. He looks like he's a real nice horse. You know, but I felt my horse ran well. I mean, he wasn't beaten far in the end at all. So, you know, we'll move on to the next one and hope we get a little better luck the next time. And, you know, he's that horse is a model of consistency. He hasn't run a bad race in his life. So hopefully we can keep him doing that. And he looks like he's trained on really well from 2 to 3. So I'm sure there'd be a big prize to be won with him at some point as well.
Well, and of course, he was one of the horses whose day was was made a little trickier with Javier Castellano having been diagnosed with an asymptomatic version of Corona. And so you had to make an adjustment. And you know, Florent Giroux, certainly a capable replacement and all that. However, you know, Javier had ridden him to two, you know, very nice finishes with the win in the Palm Beach and going back to Keeneland last fall the Bourbon when he made his first start under your care. So no matter what, Vitalogy and really this whole group, I thought, Brendan, acquitted themselves nicely. And, you know, South Bend and Get Smokin', Summer to Remember, I thought, ran an improved race. It kind of bodes well for the three-year-old, you know, mile-plus division.
Yeah, I think they're probably a very good bunch of three-year-olds, Steve. You know, we had a little bit of a turnaround on the weights the other day too.
Yeah.
Having won the state the last day, you know, with Stanley Hunt's horse and with Tom's horse as well. But you know, I there isn't much. I mean, you could have thrown a blanket over the first five. There probably isn't much between any of them really. And you know, like we said previously, that's what it all boils down to a lot of the time in these races. It's who gets the who gets the luck in running and who gets the run in the race. Same as the fillies race. And you know, for the smallest of things, sometimes it's the difference between winning and finishing second or third or fourth or fifth. You know, that's the way it goes, I'm afraid.
Before I ask you about Golden Tappet and Maxfield, Plus Que Parfait's effort.
He ran okay, Steve. You know, I ran him off the bench on dirt the last day. Probably got tired. We always have toyed with the idea of putting him on grass. You know, he didn't run a bad race in Belmont last year in the Belmont Derby. There was a one-turn mile race came up on dirt. I thought that was going to be a little sharp from this race was there on grass. It, you know, it's probably, I didn't want to have to stop on him and not run him until the next race came up in Kentucky or whatever. So I said, look, why don't we take this opportunity, give him another shot on grass. He traveled around there real good, but just didn't have the kick when the other true grass horses picked up. And I think, you know, he was only beaten four lengths in the end. But, you know, at least we've got him up and we've got him running now. We'll probably go back to the dirt with him. I think that suits his running style a little more. But he seems like he came out of it good. So I wouldn't go writing him off yet. He was a 15-1 shot the other day, and probably in hindsight, rightly so. But we'll get him back on the dirt the next day, and hopefully we can turn it around. He ran two substandard races last year before he went to Dubai as well. And then, you know, he ran great in Dubai, and he ran great in the Derby, and he ran well in his races after. So, you know, it takes him a little bit to get fit, I think, and get him up to his A race. So hopefully the next day we put him back on dirt, and he'll be able to perform a little better.
Well, that gets us to a couple of performers that either ran away from the featured card or are working toward an assignment. And don't want to miss an opportunity to ask about Golden Tappet, because that was a very impressive performance last week. And it feels like this one is now fully engaged. He's 4 years old. He was bred to be a good horse, and you got to be excited.
Yeah, no, he was, I thought he ran really well, Steve. You know, that horse has done really well, just with everything mentally and physically, you know, the last few months. And he did well from his first start at Gulfstream to this race. And you know, I think he's starting to put it all together. He's typical Tappet mentally. They can be a little tricky, but you know, he's putting it all together, and I thought he ran a really good race and beat a nice solid bunch of horses, you know, so I think we've plenty to look forward to with him.
Well, and of course, you mentioned he's a Tappet. He's also out of Ron Winchell's Funhouse, making Golden Tappet a full to untappable and a half to Patio Prado. So this is a stallion pedigree, and had, you know, took some time to get him back from his three-year-old debut, which was last summer at Belmont, and now suddenly at the age of four, back-to-back wins, and the upside starting to, you know, starting to kick in on Golden Tappet. Brendan, one of the first horses that people started to mention when the decision about the Derby came down was Maxfield. And if there was one set of connections that was going to benefit from a delay in September Derby, it was going to be you and Maxfield. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the circumstances are unfortunate, but the extra time, Steve, will definitely help the horse. You know, he was doing really well. He's working really good and all, and seems to have retained his talent from last year. But you know, obviously we were up against it time wise to give him the perfect prep, as you would like to put it. This gives us more time. You know, we've said from day one that this horse is always going to be a better horse with maturity, you know, so now we've got a chance to let him mature even a little more. But, you know, his work was very good. Up to now, it's been very good. And, you know, we're kind of just a little on the fence now as to what happens with all the races and the calendar and the points and all that, so we just, you know, we just kind of took it easy with him for a week or two, and just till we see where we're going. But he'll be back working this week, and you know, I guess we'll keep him ticking over until we get him. We can come up with a more definite plan.
Well, the obvious advantage here is that you know, you can pretty much tap dance and move him as appropriate, and you know, wait until we know what the new additional points races might be, and then customize the plan from that point. It's a luxury you couldn't possibly have anticipated.
Yeah, no, it did work out good. You know, I mean, we were looking before, if we went to the Derby with the horse, you know, we planned on giving him some kind of an opportunity to make it. You were probably going to go there off of one prep, which is, you know, is that going to be the right thing to do? Is it going to give him enough to come into the Derby on his A race? At least now we can give him minimum two, if not three races before he would hopefully go to the Derby. That's all down the line too, you know. He still has to get there, as do all the others. But yeah, it works to, it can only be of an advantage to him, Steve.
Well, and Brendan, hope everybody, the whole team, safe and healthy, and appreciate the visit. Delighted for the success, and not sure when we're going to see you or where, but somewhere along the line soon.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. My pleasure. Thank you.
Brendan Walsh, everybody, and a lot of good things happening, and some time that couldn't possibly have expected for Maxfield to make the Derby. Let's take our last break of the morning. Barkley Tagg is going to join us next. We'll talk to Barkley about the two big wins, both for Tis the Law and for Highland Glory on Saturday. Barkley Tagg next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments.
Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 15 minutes to fill out this busy Monday, and of course, the Florida Derby Day card. Was going to be a celebration for Barkley Tag and Sakatoga and Manny Franco, the way the day ended. But earlier in the day, another of Barkley Tag's long-term clients, the Youngs, and I don't think there's a mare in that family that Barkley hasn't had his hands on, going back to Bit of Whimsy and Christie with a K. And it's always a pleasure to welcome Barkley Tag after any kind of win, but especially after a big day like Saturday. Barkley, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I want to talk about the Youngs first, because there are not nicer people in the whole sport.
Yeah, they're just lovely people. They've been with me over 30 years. You have to be pretty nice to put up with me for 30 years, I tell you that.
Well, and you know, guys like you and Suge, you know, when training three, four generations of the same family.
Yeah, it's been nice. They're very nice people. It's been very, very nice every bit of it.
Well, and I can't remember. Is Christy with a K, was she out of Bit of Whimsy, or is she a sister?
Oh, darn. My memory's not as good.
I'll check with Bonner on that. But I
yeah, they're all from the same bottom line. They're also from the original mayor, Highland Mills.
And, absolutely. And then Christy B, they're sisters. Bit of Whimsy and Christy with a K. There we go. All right, we're sisters. Yeah. And you trained them all.
Yep, I sure did.
Well, the win by Highland Glory, and of course Highland Sky, you know, is a good hard hitter, the brother. But talk about how this filly came to hand so quickly.
Well, she just did. You know, we had her for a while, and everything was going right with her, and all. We finally got time to run her. We ran her, and she ran very well. And you know, then she came back and won, and then she came back and won a stakes. So it was just like you like to see, that's for sure.
Well, and perfect timing before the end of that, you know, the end of the season, and it opens up. I mean, it opens up all kinds of possibilities. And in terms of versatility and distance, what do you think she wants to do long term?
Well, I think she can run a distance, but further than a mile and things like that. I don't think she has too many limitations there, but you don't know for sure yet. But I don't think so, and. You know, there's Oaks is coming up and all that kind of stuff, or we hope something's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, exactly.
In limbo right now. But, I have to see really what kind of time she's had, time she's had compared to other horses at this stage of the game and what kind of races to go to. I don't want to overface her if we don't have to. But it'll all have to play out. There's just, you can't make any plans right now because there's just no way to do it.
No. Paco Lopez, you put Paco aboard in January when she broke her maiden, and there's no tougher thing to do than go run a horse down in space. And Cheermeister looked home at the 16th pole, and Paco managed to corral her.
I know, he did. Paco's a good rider, and he rides good at especially New Jersey and Florida. He's just terrific in these places. But he's a good rider anywhere he goes. He's a good rider. He tries hard, and he's a good rider.
Well, he gets up, and literally the last jump. It could not have been timed better. And she really, of course, the only negative, I know how much the Youngs would have enjoyed being there.
Yeah, they sure would have. I'm sure they would have.
Opportunities, though, this summer, Saratoga, they'll look forward to that.
I know. That's for sure.
Well, speaking of Saratoga, Barkley, let's shift gears to the nightcap and the Florida Derby. And it really feels like everything you had planned and you and Jack have talked about has kind of come together perfectly.
Well, that's such a nice little horse. He makes things come together. I mean, you can set up a plan and then he carries it out for you. He's just a lovely little guy, I'll tell you. And he's kind of amazing. He just does what he has to do and does it well. So, I don't know how else to describe him. he's a real pleasure.
You also, I thought, the way things unfolded, being drawn mid-pack, and the way Manny set up shop, there's a lot of people rooting for Manny Franco, there was so much animosity directed at him after that Kentucky Jockey Club, and you've never wavered.
Well, I didn't want to. In the first place, I didn't want to keep trying jockeys on him, and each one of them have to get to know him a little bit or something like that, you know. And the other thing was, I think Manny's a good rider, and I like riding him. And no rider rides everything perfectly all the time, but he didn't do a whole lot wrong either. So it's just the two of them had to come together just a little better, and they did. I didn't want to make any changes at all. I mean, I was perfectly happy with Manny, and I knew he'd get the hang of the horse, and it would all work out. So.
Well, set up shop. You could see the way he was, where he was placed, and from that, from that standpoint, being a horse that's sort of forward placed and part of the race, but doesn't need the lead. It's hard not to be reminded of Funny Side.
Yeah, I know, but I just felt that this horse just in these kind of races, these are high class races, and they're tough horses to run against, and. I always just have that feeling if you could sit third in the two path, you might as well try it and see how it works for you. And that's what I wanted each time, and he got closest to it perfectly yesterday or Saturday. So it just worked out really good. He was actually in the three path, I think, but that didn't faze him. The extra ground didn't bother him or anything else. He just got the job done, so.
And he gallops out. He gallops out, Barkley. Like going further is not going to be an issue.
No, I don't think it will be. No. I mean, originally I thought a distance might have been because he's a little bit of a chunky type horse, but watching him run and watching the way he handles himself and all, and the way he breathes, and I don't think any distance would be a problem for him.
Well, the only problem you're going to have to deal with is the way the schedule is going to unfold, and there from here we don't know. If you could build a schedule between now and September, what would it involve in terms of distance and timing?
Well, I'd like to have the Preakness in about 5 weeks, and I'd like to have the Belmont about 4.5 weeks after that, and then have the Travers, and then have the Jockey or
the Derby.
And I think that would work out the best if it could do that, and. That's an awful lot to ask for, though.
So. You wouldn't have a concern about about running the mile and a half, you know, sort of. I mean, obviously, it would be potentially in its normalish spot, but
yeah.
Talk about stretching a horse out, Barkley, and the nuance to that, or you know, once you get him fit enough to go, 10 panels, it's not going to matter much going 12.
I don't think it will with this particular horse. I mean, you've got to know your horses, and some horses you could get them to do it, but it'd be a lot of work and a lot of technique, and you'd have to hope everything went right every day. This guy, I think we could keep training him pretty much like we do and keep him on the same kind of schedule, and I don't think it would be any effort for him at all. And I might be dead wrong about that, but I don't think I am.
So. No. When it comes to maintenance with him, and if you did end up with 8 weeks and 9 weeks, between starts, is he a horse that you can easily maintain?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. He just hasn't shown me any bad habits or any lack of this or that or the other thing that you'd have to worry about. I just think we could keep him on a routine. And before the Belmont, three weeks before the Belmont or something, you might go a little further with him. But if he's run those other races, I don't even think, if all those races fell in the line and he had just run in the Preakness and came back a month later, I don't see why he couldn't run in the Belmont. And you wouldn't have to do anything different in your training at all. It's just be up to the horse. And, of course, the rider would have to consider placing him a little bit and not rushing him too much early or something like that. That's all stuff we'd have to figure out as we went along.
Well, so far, pretty much everything that you've been doing and figuring has just fallen into place for him. He's a grade one winner, and that absolutely a terrific addition. And I had this discussion last week about the importance of goals. A race like the Florida Derby worth winning no matter when the Kentucky Derby was going to be run, and a great, reflect on it for you, Barkley, to win a Florida Derby.
Yeah, I really wanted to. that's when I hadn't won, and it was a thrill to do it. And I thought it would set up good for him. It was in the right spot. So.
Well, congratulations to Jack Knowlton and the Saratoga team, and now it's just a question of what's going to, how things are going to unfold. And we mentioned the Youngs and the win by Highland Glory. A couple of quick thoughts, Barkley, about Realm. That Hal's Hope was such a strange group. I'm sure a little bit disappointed with what happened with Realm.
Yeah. We probably sent him a little too hard the first part of it and all that. But, he's getting a little long in the tooth now. And I'd like to find a little bit of an easier race without selling him or giving him away either. So
sure.
It's just been hard to find races for him. But that's what you get when you get an older horse like that. So
but nothing. I mean, he came back fine.
He came back fine. Yeah, he came back
good.
Fine.
Good. How about Dr. Edgar, who you know picked up a check in the Appleton? It seemed to me that if he had gotten to the lead, that he had a better chance in there.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. It was just a little tougher race than it was last year. I think he won it last year, didn't he? I was pretty sure. But anyway, there again, he'll if I keep running him, I mean, he's good and healthy and happy and sound. And if we keep running him, why, we'll pick spots for him the best we can, and he'll get some wins still.
And then finally,
he and Realm are kind of in the same spot, except he's on the turf, and I think the turf is a little better with those older horses. You can just find better spots for him.
Well, and then finally, how's that filly, the Broker Maiden, that Pleasant Orb?
Well, she's a very well-bred filly, and I've trained for that gentleman for a long time now also, and I think she's going to be a pretty nice filly. I liked her all along. I mean, she hasn't shown me great star power yet, but I think she's got enough to... She's progressed. She's progressed everything we've done with her. She's progressed, and she might be an Oaks filly. So,
nice. Well, so she should benefit. She should really benefit from September. It gives you a lot of time to work with her.
Yeah.
Well, and of course... this one, a homebred of Charlie Fipke, and you've not a bad week for Barkley for you and some of your best clients.
Well, it's very nice. Sometimes things go right.
Well, they've been going right for you for decades, and congratulations to you and Robin and her niece. Keep everybody safe and healthy, Barkley. And you know, when you get a chance to break camp and come home, we'll be happy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And have a good day.
Thanks so much. Barkley Tag, everybody. Always fun. And you know, some of the best clients in racing. Charlie Fipke, the Youngs. Sakatoga has been with him, obviously, for 20 years. It's amazing. Amazing to see him have his success. Over and over again, and who knows, it might be a second derby for Barkley Tag and Sakatoga. This was a busy morning. Thanks to Barkley and Brendan Walsh and George Weaver, Chris Clement. Congratulations on 2K for him. He's already up to 2004. Blew past 2000. Kenny McPeak as well, and Johnny D. Casey's got an appointment, so archive and stuff comes up later this afternoon. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you were racing 2-year-olds in California, Kentucky...